Hello, welcome to this time of worship. It's a time that we can share together as Manse Road Baptist Church. I'm the minister of the church, Andy Wilson. It's good that we have this opportunity of worship. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, we pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit here as we share this time together. We pray one for another, for us to grow in our discipleship as we seek to be like our Lord Jesus. And we pray that in and through this time, we may be encouraged together. Hear our prayer. Amen. Amen. Going to read some words from Colossians chapter 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. We're going to sing together the song. I know those seated here in the worship space, we need to follow the words, but those at home can sing Beautiful Saviour. It's a song that we read, Beautiful Saviour, Wonderful Counsellor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life.
And Christ of worthy will honor the land. champion, and you reign.
In recent weeks, Dave has been showing us, hasn't he, on our service sheets, pictures of gardens. And I was thinking about this, and I think that through this time and through the time of lockdown and through these last few months, that our gardens will collectively be the best they've ever been. Well, that's something to think about. Here and now, our gardens collectively will have been and are the best they've ever been previously, I would anticipate. And I know we'd have planted seeds from packets. I know we had some nasturtium seeds, or we'd have put in small bedding plants, and I've been pleased to see how our begonias in our house have managed to get a little bit bigger, well, quite a lot bigger, actually. And what we have discovered is that our seedlings, the small plants, they've grown and they've flowered, and we hope and that they will flourish and be the best that they can be, and where there's fruit to come later in the summer, that it will be good fruit. And we hope this for our plants in our gardens, in our pots, on the windowsills or the like. And it's this same hope that God has as he looks at you and he looks at me. He knows that we have lots of potential, lots of good possibilities. God loves us, and he really hopes that we will grow spiritually as well as in our bodies. He doesn't want us to stay the same as when we first began our Christian life, because he knows that if all goes well, we shall one day be full of flowers and fruit as we help and serve in his world. If I want my little plants to grow, I have to give them water and food, make sure they have light. And being plants, they'll just sit there and let me give them the things that they need to grow nicely. God wants to give us lots of things. He wants us to make us grow. He wants to drench us in his Holy Spirit. He wants to warm us with the light of his love. He wants to feed us with his word. But because we're humans and we're not plants, we sometimes turn away from his light. Sometimes we put up huge umbrellas against the rain of his Holy Spirit. And we sometimes refuse to let him feed us, blocking our ears and stop ourselves hearing what he says. And when that happens, we stop growing, and we wilt, and we weaken, and we never come to bear the fruit that is there for us to do. So we're here today, and God is here today, and he's saying to us, let me give you the gifts that you need as Christians. Keep asking for them. Keep looking for me, And I promise you that you'll receive everything you need to grow into strong, healthy plants with beautiful flowers and fruit. And to use the terminology, sowing the seed, this time we've sowing the seed. We're going to look at it a little bit more shortly. But in this time of worship, it's always important that we are listening to God's word. And in a few minutes, Max will be sharing a reading. But before that, we're going to bring before God his world and our thoughts. And Jean's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Jean.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together at this time and space to praise your holy name, to bring all your people in prayer and to glorify you. Father, we are living in a time of turbulence and fear, where evil and wickedness are rearing its ugly head. Lord, you are our strength and shield. We are weak without you. Your presence in our lives, Lord, is all that we need to keep us strong. Thank you for this day, that we are here before you together in your presence to worship. Lord, thank you for loving us and providing our daily needs. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, who is sitting at your right hand, pleading and intervening on our behalf. Help us to rise above and beyond the trouble of this world, a world that you've made perfect for mankind to live and grow and to worship and serve you. We are living in a seriously unstable world. We are so divided, Lord. Help us to unite for the good of all. We ask for justice and peace in the life of all your people. Lord, we ask that you act, speak and work through your people. May we see new opportunities through the eyes of faith and not fear. As we struggle to work with each other at this time, as we presented with new ways in our worshiping and service together, may the Holy Spirit be our guide and deliverer. Help us not to conform to one pattern of worshiping, but help us to strike out new ways that is guided by your Holy Spirit. As we've been confined in our homes for the past 4 months, give us the courage, Lord Jesus, as we take these steps to venture out by putting our trust and faith in you. We bring before you in prayer the lonely and the neglected, those who are physically or mentally sick at this time. May your healing touch be on them. We pray for all the doctors, nurses, paramedic, care workers, who are working for the good of all. We pray for the bereaved and for all those who have died. May they find rest and peace under your wing, Lord. We pray for all the leaders of the world. Help them to work together for the good of all. Be with all those who are working hard to develop a vaccine at this time, which is so needed. We bring before you all the people who are suffering injustices and cruelty in their lives. Help us to treat your people fairly, and to all those living in camps, all the refugees and all the children living in camps at this time, Lord. Be with them. Jesus, I'm asking you to intervene on their behalf. The suffering, the trying to get a new life, Lord. Because people have done this to generations, Lord. They go where they think work is, where they can have a future together. Lord, I'm asking you to be in their lives. I pray for those who lack faith and who do not have an awareness of love. Open their eyes to hear your voice and open their hearts to the knowledge of the love in Christ. Lord, I'm asking you to bless those who come to our church family, Lord, who at this time are struggling to leave the home. Lord, I'm asking you to bless our young people who are missing Sunday school. Lord, I'm asking your blessings on our minister and all his family. I'm asking you to bless us all, to know that with you we can get through any situation, Lord Jesus. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ. The reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, entitled Jesus' Teaching on Prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, will give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, will give them a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. God's desire for each one of us is to become the people that he, our creator, hoped us to be. And so often things get in the way, that trap, they constrain, they restrict us and they rob us. We get stuck and we find ourselves not producing the flowers and the fruit that God hopes. How can we encourage each other to have the freedom to grow, to become the people of God that God himself yearns for? This passage that Mags read for us gives tremendous insights. Jesus is there. He encourages and shows us through his life and his ministry, which has a focus here on this passage. Because if we look at Jesus, he goes off time and again and he puts himself before God to pray. And he himself, Jesus, was asked about how do we pray? And he gives these words, just to take the two or three verses from the reading. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's the Lord's prayer, as we know. And I know as a church we've been encouraging each other to be part of the prayer course, and we were talking about that at the beginning of the year. The prayer course is something run by the 24/7 prayer movement, and Pete Gregg is a figurehead for that movement. And looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we can look at the Lord's Prayer in a number of ways. We can look at it as a tool for us to use to help us grow, to be drenched by God's Holy Spirit, to be warmed by God's love, and fed by His Word. So we know there's that breadth of God, but Jesus shows us also and shares His prayer to help us to grow, and we will become and are the fruit and the flowers, living our lives as the children of God, as He would want. If we let this prayer be part of our lives, as it should. It doesn't matter if we've been a Christian a few weeks or many years. This prayer is something of life and energy. It's an opportunity for growing. The great theologian of old, Martin Luther, he said, "To this day, I am still nursing myself on the Lord's Prayer like a child, and I'm still eating and drinking of it like an old man without getting on board of it." Yeah. Can we all be saying that? To this day, we're still nursing ourselves on the Lord's Prayer like a child, and still eating and drinking it like old people without getting bored of it. Or a more modern theologian, N.T. Wright, he says these words, "The Lord's Prayer, correctly understood, is one of the high roads into the central mystery of Christian salvation and Christian experience." Oh, do you want to be on the high road to the central mystery of Christian salvation and Christian experience? Yes, I want some of that. The Lord's Prayer. We've got it. It's there for us. The Lord's Prayer is something of life and journey, about bringing growth and fruit. And so often we seek to find our destinations. We're so busy about the endpoints or where we're going to. And it's important that we don't use the Lord's Prayer in that way. It's not an end point. It's for the journey. It's the journey. And I love the description. I read this description. I think it was from something that Pete Gregg wrote. "The Lord's Prayer is an invitation to embark upon our own personal adventures of adoration, petition, intercession, confession, and spiritual warfare." That's the invitation that we have there in the Lord's Prayer, for a personal adventure of adoration, petition, intercession, confession, and spiritual warfare. So do we see that? Do we actually see the Lord's Prayer as a personal adventure with God? Do you see the Lord's Prayer as a personal adventure with God? We can use the prayer in two very distinct ways. We can use it as a model. The Lord's Prayer serves as the ultimate prototype. It's a condensed liturgical poem. It's sort of intended and can be used in repetition. It teaches us what to pray. It can be there, it can be used as a model. And similarly, the Lord's Prayer can be used as a map. It guides us as we express the things on our hearts. Each line can be expanded and applied in personal conversation with our Father. It teaches us how to pray. So we're going to look at these briefly in turn, as a model, as a map. The Lord's Prayer as a model. Folk were asking Jesus, not for just some good prayer tips. They were sort of saying, we need a statement of faith. And the Lord's Prayer, in a sense, is probably one of the earliest forms of creed. And it's a foundational doctrine, really, for our life and faith. And it's something that's well worth repeating. And it's important that we build the Lord's Prayer into our regular routine. We can set daily reminders. Most of us got mobile phones. Let's put a mobile phone on for midday, an alarm or an alarm clock at home. So when the alarm goes, we can allow ourselves to and free ourselves to think the words of the Lord's Prayer. It'll be annoying, you know, that sometimes you think, oh, the alarm's gone off, most inappropriate. But if it didn't, we might not have stop and hold that time. We need to put first things first. Focus ourselves on the model that the Lord's Prayer gives. It's important, obviously, that we don't recite it mindlessly or that we treat it superstitiously as something that's special and just in saying the words, but we use it in a powerful way, prayerful way, to shape our lives and to earth and to root our beliefs. The Lord's Prayer is a model, knowing what to pray. And the Lord's Prayer, secondly, is a map. Just expanding that now very briefly. It's a map, knowing how to pray. It helps us to pray those prayers that are on our hearts. When Jesus said, this then is how you should pray, he was telling his disciples to use it more as a guide than a destination. Many of us find prayer difficult. We get distracted and we struggle to know what to say. But praying the Lord's Prayer is a simple answer to these problems. The first two words, Our Father, prompts us to pause and pray for our families. Hallowed be your name is an invitation to worship. Let your kingdom come is an opportunity to request help for particular people, places and situations in our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. Invites us to pray about our most practical needs that we're in the midst of. Forgive us our sins is a challenge to name the ways in which we have been hurt and we have hurt and sinned before God. So here we are, each one of us, an invitation to embrace the adventure, an invitation for adoration, for petition, for intercession, for spiritual warfare. And as we embrace this, then we'll become the flowers and fruit our Creator God yearned us and yearns for us to be. There's nothing more that needs to be given. There is nothing more, as I said, nothing more needs to be given, nothing to be taken away. All the sunlight, all the rain, all the warmth, all the conditions for flourishing come as we bring a focus in and through the Lord's Prayer, as we use the Lord's Prayer as both a model and a map. Perhaps one is more easier for us to do than the other. However, it has an importance that we use it in both ways. It's there for us, for this time and this place of journey. It's not the destination, it's the adventure of the journey. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to share with me at this time in the Lord's Prayer. As a response, we're going to use the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to say it in traditional form. So I invite you to join with me. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again in a faith from our home settings, and we're going to look at the words here in the worship space at the church. And the song is going to be Good, Good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night.
I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. Thank you. by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
As we close, God, our Father, he yearns for us to become the flowers and the fruit that we're called to be. And we have these words of the priestly blessing, and we go out with these words. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you peace. Amen.